we teach our children intentionally yet practically. You know what it's like to be a busy mother and yet want to make sure you're teaching your children in a way that's meaningful but doesn't stress you out. Engaging our littles in gospel learning can be fun and simple. Singing songs, adding movement, repeating phrases and stories is all very easy and certainly age appropriate for our little learners. Today, Miss Lindsay from Miss Lindsay's Come Follow Me for Kids joins us to share some of her tips and tricks on what she does to teach the gospel in a fun and memorable way.
Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast, where our mission is to help you, the intentional parent, to teach your children in such a way that they can personally experience the power of Jesus Christ while still at home.
Hey everybody, welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast. I'm Leslie Johnson, your host today, and with me is a special visitor, Lindsay Paradis. Did I say that right?
Paradis. It's okay. I pronounced it that way before, so.
Oh, Paradis. Well, welcome, Lindsay. She is a host of her own podcast called Miss Lindsay's Come Follow Me for Kids. It's a fun, short little Come Follow Me lesson for young kids. She sings songs, she tells stories, she does some scripture study memorizing, wiggle time, lots of fun little things that she does with this cute little 10-minute podcast. It's just a short little fun thing. So Lindsay, take a minute and share with us, kind of introduce yourself and your family and what you do, and introduce yourself to us.
All right. Yes. Well, first of all, Leslie, I'm super honored to be on this podcast. So thank you for letting me be here.
Sure.
I have been doing Miss Lindsay's Come Follow Me for Kids for about a year now. My children right now are ages 6, 4, 2, and 1. Come May, that'll all go up a year. But I am busy, and I love your mission of intentional parenting, because I love to, as you know, I love to be busy, I love to work, I love to be a part of people's lives, and letting people know they're not alone. And with COVID, I just thought Come Follow Me was the perfect resource for people to connect and bond and not feel alone, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy creating this podcast. And I just think if we are intentional about our lives, we will find more joy and happiness.
I like that. That is a great thought, Lindsay. I think that lots of us can take that to heart, that, yeah, let's be intentional and find the things that we want to do and make it happen in our life so that we can find that joy. I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we are glad to have you here today. And the objective of our discussion today, Lindsay, I think, is to talk to our busy parents how we can be intentional, but also be practical in the way that we teach our children. And, we want it to be meaningful, but we don't want it to stress us out and to become a burden. And so I would love to hear some of your tips and tricks and some of the things that you do to incorporate the gospel with your own family and the gospel teaching with your own family and with those that you serve through your podcast and some of your other things.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Well, I guess I'll just go ahead and go for it. Great. Well, I'd say, first of all, I am not perfect. And what a blessing, because none of us are.
Right.
And, I learned recently, reality is an acquired taste. Sometimes we don't want to admit where we're at, but where we're at is where we grow. So I just for a minute want everyone, whoever's listening, to accept your place, where you're at right now, and recognize that you probably are doing better than you think you are. I have those little children that I mentioned and all that stuff that I do. So there are days when I'm completely overwhelmed and I don't want to do any of it. So I am a big believer of creating habits in your life, because if you have an intention to do something good and you create a habit, then it will become automatic, sometimes even on your hardest days. So I would first like to, speaking of intentional time, Repetition is one of the one of my favorite practical uses. So when I first started, before I did the podcast, when I was first started being intentional with my children, I decided one morning, and this is when I was just really pregnant, you know, with my third or my fourth, and I was, you know, you're just a zombie. You're a walking zombie.
Yes.
And I was like, all I can do is put breakfast in front of them and recite a scripture. And so, and then have them like repeat it back to me. And that's what I did. And it wouldn't be a full scripture. Like I debated on that. I'm like, oh my gosh, if it's not a full scripture, like, is it even like, you know, authentic or whatever? I'm like, no, they're like toddlers. It's not a big deal. Just get that scripture out there. So I did. I set that intention. And some days I did it with my eyes closed because at least by that point it was memorized because I was so tired and I would just run right back to bed as they finished their breakfast. So, yeah, and, you know, the fun thing, though, about doing that was really rewarding is my oldest was four at the time, and or four or five, and he had it memorized. I could just start one word, and he could finish it. I mean, probably like 10 words total or whatever, but it was really exciting to just see my intentional time was kind of getting through to him. And I think that's the other thing. It's not like he hasn't memorized now, right? Like mm-hmm. it's been a couple years and we moved on. But I think the number one thing is trust the seeds that you're planting in your children. And as you are like consistent, which is like my least favorite word in the dictionary. But, you know, that is I'm trying to move in that direction, right? I see where my weakness is and that's the way. I like to teach the obstacle is the way, right? Mm-hmm. And I really butt heads with consistency. However, I think it's so good, at least as your children see that consistent faith that you have. And when I say consistency, I don't mean necessarily every day. I mean, like maybe once a month, who knows? Just as time builds, as you continually go back to these things you're teaching, your children will at least see that you believe it and that you love it. And that's another thing with our daily teaching. Is our children, our intention is not to, you know, save our children, right? Mm. Only the Savior can do that. But our intention is to create a safe place for them to grow, a safe space for them to understand where Christ comes from. And honestly, being willing to say sorry a lot because... like, I get busy and I do get stressed out. And sometimes I'm not as nice as I should be.
Right.
And you know, I mean, this is life. And, but as I say sorry, and I'm in, like, I love that word intentional. I'm using it so much. But deliberate, then it's okay. The children will see that, wow, when we mess up, if we say sorry, you know, good feelings come back and we can be okay with that. So,
well, you know, Lindsay, that reminds me, I was just listening to, a conference talk. And I don't actually remember now who it was that was speaking, but they were talking about how one of the best and most effective ways that we can teach our children is through our example. And so for our children to see us making mistakes and then apologizing for those and trying to do better, you know, really what could be a better example than that as we're trying to teach our kids about repentance and about changing and becoming better than when they see their parents doing that and they see that it is a safe place for me to try this. Look, mom did it and it's okay for me to mess up. And I think that that's really an important part that we remember that it's not our job to save our children, but that it is our job to present opportunities for our children to learn and to grow and to come to understand and feel the Spirit speaking to them and teaching them, because it's the Spirit's job, it's the Holy Ghost's job to convert our children. We just need to provide those opportunities where the Spirit can touch their hearts.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I agree with that totally. I believe that our example is what the children are going to remember more than our words, right? Mm,
I think
more than the words and the actions and everything. It is our example. So, and that can feel like an extreme burden, honestly. That can feel like a big responsibility. But what I like to do is break it down and remember, you can only control you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like we can't make our children, you know, I mean, there are certain things that, okay, we got to get them in the car. It's just going to happen one way or another, right?
Right.
But really, I mean, and I've thought about this and I've talked with others about this, you know, at the close of my life, like, I want the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I think that I don't get there by making others follow me, right?
Right.
It's good parenting. You don't necessarily get rewarded by your children very often. But I think if you're a good parent, that's when you feel like you're right with the Lord, you know? And that's what we can control is our relationship with our Savior. We can't control our children, but we can get creative, right? There are so many creative things we can do with our children. Because remember, it's not about making them. It's just about creating a space. So that's what I love to do with natural conversations. Like, this is really important to me and my husband, and he is so good at bringing up gospel, like, discussions with our little ones, like, all the time. Actually, today, I guess, I was at the counter. I gave my children a lunch, and I was like, here's a moment. Here's just a moment. You know, I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, you know, I had their undivided attention. I'm going to just
they're busy eating sandwiches.
Exactly. They were peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Right? And so I was like, okay, hey guys, I'm going to sing a song, you know? So I just sang, I Love to See the Temple. And then my daughter loved it, and they were so sweet. Like, sometimes they're like, whatever, Mom, but they were being really sweet. And my daughter wanted to sing her own song. And, oh, I love when children just, like, sing their freestyle, because then you just get what's ever on their mind at the time. And so sometimes it's like, oh, that was weird, but, like, today, it was, like, really sweet, and she was just talking about love and family and forever, you know? And that's kind of, like, a marker, like, oh, she's hearing this at home, like, this is good. These are good words. Let's keep, you know, teaching those things, so.
Well, and to me, when you tell me that, I think, well, she does feel like this is a safe place. She feels like she's feeling that love and that family and togetherness, and that's coming out through her music, you know? And so to me, that would be, as moms, we have to look for those little moments that say, you're doing a good job, Mom. And to me, that would be one of them that you have to capture and say, okay, I am doing okay. They are learning something.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so good to remember those moments, because I know that the harsh ones will follow. So
right.
It is true. I mean, that, why not? Why not focus on the positive? Why not just let your mind continually remember the good things that have come and the good things that you are doing?
I like that.
Go ahead. I'm like,
well, tell me a little bit about you in the podcast that I listened to, a couple of your little podcasts. You use music a lot, and now you're talking about singing to your kids and them singing back. What is it about music that really you feel like teaches children so well?
Great question. And, you know, I will put movement and music together for sure. And I think, actually, it's funny. So, like, Super Simple Songs is on YouTube. And total confession here, I am 100% grateful for YouTube, okay? Like, obviously, there's not a lot, you know, it's not perfect. But right. I am grateful for all those people who have put educational things out there. Like, I don't watch it as much because now I'm Prime. Like, they have these super simple songs and all of these things. So, really, that inspired me because my children watched it so much that they had it memorized. And so, like, in the car to entertain my children, I would sing this one, the One Little Finger song, which is one of my favorite warm-up songs that I use. And they love doing it, right? They love to see mommy's doing something and I can do what she's doing. You know, it really, like, empowers them when they, you know, can hear a song over and over. They know the words, but immediately, right away, children can move. So I love to use clapping. We blow raspberries a lot. And I also incorporate breathing time because I think it's so important for children to breathe, you know. I learned that from, sorry, this is a little sidetrack, but I learned as I was looking at charities on Just Serve on the app, one of the charities was like bubble packages or something like that, where they send bubbles to like, I don't know, more destitute places. And because a lot of children have anxiety and stress, and when they blow bubbles, they breathe. And that really helps to reduce the stress in their lives. So that's why I always include breathing time at the end, because it hopefully brings the children back to center, you know, and then they can move on with the rest of their day. But so as far as movement, music, breathing, I think all those things children can do, love to be a part of. And it's something that as adults, like, we can incorporate in our lives too, as we are studying the gospel and just going about our daily lives.
Well, I like how you said that it's something that children can do, because as children, there's so many things they're not allowed to do, or they can't do as well as grownups, or, you know, they're just, they're not capable of doing. And so I like the fact that they can do that, and there is empowerment in that. And I think as they are moving, and participating, they're more engaged in the learning process. And so as you incorporate music and movement and all of those things, it also engages their mind. And so they're going to remember those words that you sing over and over again, much better than if you were to just talk to them or tell them a gospel principle, but to actually sing it to them or with them. You know, when they're very little, they aren't going to even know what those words mean. I had my little 2-year-old granddaughter that was singing, "I am a child of God." And it just brought tears to my eyes. And I thought, you have no idea what those words mean. That, I mean, she couldn't express it, but I think her spirit did know what that meant. And even though the English language, she wasn't able to tell me what all of that meant, I think her little spirit did. And you could just feel the love of that came with that song as she was singing it. And I think that there is something special about music when it comes to our children. Well, to all of us. I don't think it's just for children, but there's something special about music.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that about your granddaughter. I mean, behold your little ones, right? I have had to intentionally and deliberately think of that phrase sometimes when I'm not seeing any good come out of my children. I'm like, what is so great about them? Okay, we've all had those thoughts, I hope. I hope I'm not.
Yeah, for sure.
And, but, you know, when I do take a moment to step back and behold them for a minute, you recognize that vulnerability, right, that they have, and how they want to connect, how they want to, you know, remember who they are, and they will gravitate towards the things that are lovely to them. And I think with music, I remember as a child, I am a child of God. And I was so excited when I was like 6 or 7 that I memorized it, and how I could sing that on my own. Another empowering thing, you know, is you always think about giving children responsibility and opportunities to grow. It will always give them empowerment. Like, I think it's really important we don't just throw words at kids, right? Like, it's okay. My husband is a wonderful teacher. And I think sometimes, you know, we often can just want to use more words. But really, when I think really intentional teaching comes when we allow children to teach themselves, you know, to take these principles and, like, let me think if I can think of an experience. Well, I guess I'll just jump to memorizing scriptures. When you, like, give children the opportunity to repeat after you, that gives them the, you know, one, they're actually going to listen, right? Mm-hmm. And two, as they continue repeating you week after week, so I do a scripture every month, so that by the end of the month, the idea is that the children kind of know what's coming next. And that feels like, whoa, like I learned that. I, you know, right? Like it feels good to put something in our pockets. Like, wow, I can do that. I did. I repeated after her. And now I know the scripture. You know, just little things like that. Anytime you have an opportunity to do that, I think that will really put in children's minds that it's not just on their parents to teach them, that it is on their shoulders to learn as well.
We talk a lot about that, about how we can help our children learn to personalize what they're seeing, because we cannot give them a testimony. It has to come from within them. And again, it's the Holy Ghost that has to do that teaching. And so really important that we recognize our role in teaching our children. And that is to help them develop their own testimony and to have their own success and their own experiences with the gospel and with their Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's a very, very important part that I love that you brought that up, is that we need to remember as parents is our role. And so we can talk until we're blue in the face, but that's not necessarily what is going to help them gain their own testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so good. You know, but I would say that, remember, it's not about you. Teaching your children is not about you. It is about your children. It's about them. Try to see things from their perspective, real and true and honest. I mean, it's hard to put ourselves back in like a 6-year-old or 4 or 2, whatever. We haven't been there for a long time, right? But I think as you see what they like, right? Like you can do more of that. You can do more of what they like. You can build on that. So I, you know, when you take yourself out of the equation, like, oh, I'm teaching them and it's going to go well and I'm going to do this, this, and this, and they're all going to be happy. Like, when you kind of stop necessarily thinking that way, but thinking, okay, I'm going to step back. I'm going to partner with the Lord right now and pray and ask him, what do these children need to learn right now? Or how can I interact with them in a way that helps them feel the Spirit, right? Like teaching isn't just, you know, a one conversation. It's also just an opportunity to feel the Spirit. We learn through experiences as much as we can through words. And I fortunately, believe even more so. Even more so. So don't be afraid of like having experiences, right? Or I guess not afraid, but being intentional with experiences with your children, even maybe, like I said before, like giving them more responsibility. Even if it's hard for them, we know it will benefit them. So sometimes we have to take back our want to just take all their worries and problems away, right? Like we just have to use that protective instinct in a more, more like a safer way, I guess, for our own sanity, and let them grow and be as they are. And I found that like when children feel like you can honestly accept negative behavior from them and not like hate them for it or whatever, that's really harsh sounding, but like if you can be okay with their bad, they are much more willing to be open to you with their good.
I like that. That's a really powerful thought, because we all want, particularly as our kids get older, we really want them to be able to talk to us. I have so many parents say, well, my teenagers just don't talk to me. And what you're saying, I think, is so important, because if we teach them from a young age that, so my daughter has this great saying, it just reminded me, that it's okay for us to make a mess, but we have to clean it up. And I believe that it's the same with our life, right? It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to mess up. We just have to apologize, or we just have to say we're sorry. We have to make it right somehow. And if we can take that kind of approach, that it's okay that we messed up, it's okay that we did something bad, let's just fix it. That is, in my mind, helps create what you were talking about earlier about that safe environment where they feel comfortable in trying things and experimenting and making mistakes, but because they know that they can fix it later, you know? And I think that if they grow up in that type of environment, they are more willing and open to talk about some of the good things. And they're not afraid to open up, because there's no judgment on our part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what I teach in my other, like when I help other parents and friends, we learn about processing emotion and how so many times when we react strongly emotionally to something, it's usually more about us, right, than it's mm-hmm. about them, like I've kind of been saying. And so it's okay to sit with our negative feelings, like, or I won't even say negative, because, like, you know, there's ones that we prefer and some feelings we don't prefer, right?
Okay.
Like, I think it is so important for our children to see, like, it's okay that we sit with our worst selves, right? We need to be okay with our worst selves sometimes. And I'll add on to what your daughter says about, you know, you make a mess, you clean it up. And I would say your mess becomes your message, right? Messes are obvious. Messes, people see it usually sometimes more than the clean things. I mean, I guess it depends on where you're looking, but your mess, your heart, your problems, your vulnerability, all of that stuff will become your message, right? As people see you make it right, clean it up, you know, and then do it over and over again, then, you know, you can show.
That's a powerful message.
Yeah, that you're, I guess, and I'm trying to think, what is the message? The message is, you know, this happened and it sucked, but I moved on. I decided to move forward and do something positive again, right?
Well, I think that's the message of the gospel, right? Is that that's why we're here, is to, we have to learn from our mistakes. That was part of the plan, that we come and that we make mistakes and we learn from those mistakes and we change and we become better. And when I hear you talking about that, I think that is the plan. That's what Heavenly Father wants us to do. That is why he sent our Savior, was to help us so that we could clean up those messes and that we could, through those experiences, learn and grow and change and become. And I think it's so good for our children to see that, so good for us to be examples of that, and to allow our children to feel safe in the process of going through that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I love that. That is beautiful. So, and that makes me think about intentional time versus quantity of time, right? Like, I have caught myself. This is like my new thing, my new goal, my new habit, I guess you could say, is whenever I think I have to do something or I should do this, oh no, the kids are watching too much TV, I have to turn it off and I should, you know, I catch myself, I stop myself and I say, okay, what could I be doing? Am I only doing this out of guilt? Or is there a space or an experience I want to create right now? And I have to be honest with myself. Sometimes it's like, no, I'm just mad because I'm feeling guilty because I'm a bad mom because they're watching TV, right? Like, and I've decided I don't want to teach my children from that headspace, from that mindset, because, you know, they can sense that. They can sense that you're just upset, that you're trying to make up for something. And I think, you know, that is not a productive place to grow. So instead, I breathe, I take a step back, and I say, okay, I'm going to give them 10 more minutes or whatever it is. Sometimes it's a half an hour, whatever, like while I get myself together, while I think about what I could do, and then actually set intentional time in the day so I can really show up for them. Not just like, oh, we just got to do this because we got to get over with. You know, and sometimes we'll do that and that's fine. But I'm just trying to be more intentional about my gospel-centered time with my children.
I like that a lot. Do you have a specific time or specific plan, or are you just looking for those opportunities to be intentional?
You know, that is a wonderful question. At times in my life or at times in our lives, I have had a set plan. Like in the morning, we eat breakfast, we listen to my podcast, or we memorize the scripture. But as like COVID happened and things have changed, like honestly, I just look for the opportunity. And like now on Sundays is when we have our podcast time, which we call it primary time. So we'll like print off coloring pages and then they'll listen to the podcast that I do. And so that's like, those are some like markers that we know. We also always have prayer in the morning, you know, and so that's another time. My husband always likes to take advantage of that and teach the children one thing he read in the scriptures that morning or the night before or something. And so there are like moments when we gather, right, at times of the day, usually for prayer, for meals, for bedtime. And those are just the times when we just happen to do it more because it flows nicely into our day.
I like that. So you have those times that are kind of more natural times, but then you're also beginning to look for times throughout the day, like you were saying, with your lunch today, that you intentionally took that moment to say, you know what, now's a moment that we're all together, I'm going to take advantage of this moment. So you're trying to find those small little moments throughout the day. And I think those small little moments add up over time, right? If we are continually looking for a 2 minute here and a 30 second minute, that would be awesome, but 30 second time here. I think that those add up and we can, you know, particularly for our little ones, sometimes that's about all they can handle. But over the course of a day, over the course of a week or a month, those little times add up and they make a difference in the lives of our kids. So I really like that
Yeah,
thought.
Definitely. And like I said before, really when it comes to teaching toddlers, it is being willing to accept where they're at. So often we want to do more because we think it will help us feel better about ourselves. So again, when we step back and realize what can they really handle, what could be really good right now, and just focusing on making those natural moments in the day more positive, like they're not always going to be, but that's okay. Like just as you do it consistently, that word is again, it will become automatic for you. So you can build on that until you hopefully become more consistent in something else.
I love that, Lindsay. That's great. So Lindsay, to wrap this up, what would be like the top two or three things that you would remind our listeners about to simply incorporate gospel learning into their day?
That is, now the pressure's on. Okay.
I know, I threw that one at you. Sorry.
Woo, okay. Well, simply, I think one, trust yourself. Trust your heart, your good intentions with your children. Trust that the Lord is working with you and through you. Take a step back and behold your little ones. Know that they are excited to learn, and use movement. Let them clap. Let them blow raspberries. Wiggle time. There are so many songs out there. When they are engaged doing movement and music with you, that is so fun. And also, you know, children are really good at memorizing scriptures. As soon as your child can talk, start memorizing phrases with them. You know, and it can just be like, right now our scripture is for the month is, look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not. And what's fun is you're memorizing with them, right?
Yeah.
And so you are learning, and you will now have scriptures in your back pocket that you can remember. So, you know, your partnership with your children and with the Lord. And that's, it's really fun when you're side by side learning together and not just, you know, from me to you. It's really, it goes together.
I love that. That is such a great idea. That side by side learning, your team with you and the Lord and your children, and you make it work together. I really like that. Yeah. So Lindsay, if our listeners want to find you and listen to your little podcast, where can they do that at?
Yeah, it's on most podcast platforms, not all of them. I produce mine through the Anchor app, and I know they have it on Spotify, Apple, I think Google. So you can just Google, though, Miss Lindsay's Come Follow Me for Kids, and you can listen to it right on the website or wherever you listen to your podcasts for the most part.
Awesome. That's great. Okay, I appreciate that, Lindsay. Anything else that you want to say, or are we good?
Sure. Yeah, Leslie. What is hairy, snowy, and fast?
Hairy, snowy, and fast. I have no idea.
Okay, it's a yak skiing on its back. I threw that one perfect. At you.
I love it. This is why you're good with kids. I can see right now, I can see a six-year-old just dying of laughter over that one. I'm going to have to call my grandkids and share that one with them. That will make them laugh.
Yeah. Well, yep, you got it. Use humor.
Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. To my listeners, if you want to follow us, remember to you can find us at our Facebook page, Come Follow Me, Intentionally Teaching Our Children and Youth. And remember that your teaching matters. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.